In a bazaar in Kabul, book vendors these days are hawking frayed copies of a 1970s classic, Nancy Hatch Dupree's Guide to Afghanistan. It is the saddest tourist book you'll ever read because everything pictured here, it seems, is smashed and gone. Between these pages, the colossal Bamiyan Buddhas still stand. Bazaars are bursting with rugs, silver, ceramics. In this guidebook, ancient statues and antique coins are on display still at the Kabul Museum. Recreating Afghanistan. It's the subject of a month-long series on Morning Edition that begins today with a trip to the village of Istalif in the countryside north of Kabul. Here's how the guide to Afghanistan describes Istalif.
Ancient, lovely. It's cradled within lush orchards. Many picnic here, as did the Emperor Babur in the 16th century. In spring, young boys stand by the roadside and offer wands of wild tulips. A visit to Istalif combines beautiful scenery with an introduction to Afghan village life.
30 years later, Istalif has a ruined beauty. The husks of mud brick houses hug the mountainsides. Here and there, a rusty tank is overturned on the yellow grass. Rocks along the road are painted red to warn of landmines. Outside the village, a man in a brown turban sits on a mud wall enclosing his tattered vineyard.
When the Taliban, the cruel Taliban came, we were forced to leave our houses. And I went to Pakistan, and now I have come back, and I'm working on the wall, repairing the wall.
Mizar Gul has a deeply lined face, and as he talks, his hands smooth wet mud into jagged holes.
The place where we are living now, they are all in rubble, and there are huge scorpions, and if they bite us, then we would be finished.
Ask about what aid he's gotten. Mizar Gul snorts, "No one has given us so much as a needle." And then he softens. It's hard, but I'm really happy to be back. I wouldn't sell even 1 hour here for a million Afghanis. For Afghanistan to revive, places like Istalif must once again thrive. Years ago, it was the breadbasket of Afghanistan. Istalif sits on the broad, fertile Shamali Plain along a river tumbling down from mountain springs. Crops from here fed Afghans and brought in hard currency by exporting grapes and wheat, almonds and raisins. The square houses were made of mud, Pueblo style, with graceful verandas, carved wooden doors, and brightly colored woven rugs. Life went on here even when the Soviets came and the Mujahideen battled them on nearby roads. Then the Taliban arrived. Farmer Abdul Baki.
We were down in the valley and then we were seeing that they were setting fire on houses and they burned my house.
The Shamali Plain was the front line. The Tajiks, Hazaris, and other ethnic groups here sided with the Northern Alliance. And so the Taliban burned the trees that hid them, the orchards and vineyards that fed them, and the homes that sheltered them. By 1999, the Taliban had driven hundreds of thousands from this plain. Istalif stood empty and barren.
After the Taliban's government collapsed, 20 days later, I came to my house. And except for the walls that were still standing, there was nothing. No windows, no roof, there was nothing left.
Last winter, Abdul Baki received his one bit of assistance, a tarp provided by the United Nations to cover his house. This spring, he and his sons cut down three precious trees to use as beams for a permanent roof. His neighbors helped him clear the underbrush from his neglected fields. Now the crops he planted are ripe and ready to eat.
These are eggplants and those are peppers. And also pumpkins that I have grown will be enough to feed my own family. And I have grown some potatoes, and I'm hoping to sell that in the bazaar.
There is a rough wooden gate leading into this garden. Young Shafila Baki has covered that gate and decorated the walls in his house with chalk drawings. His father has indulged him in this, but not for long.
When we paint the house, then they cannot make drawings on the walls. But now it's not in good shape, so they are free to make drawings.
The boy has drawn birds and fruit and a tulip, plus a couple of big buses packed with people coming home. The Baki family is part of an astonishing reverse exodus. A year ago, Afghans were the largest refugee population in the world, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Since the Taliban fell, these refugees have been streaming back, up to 400,000 a month since spring. It is the fastest and largest organized return operation the UNHCR has ever undertaken. Of the 15,000 families that fled Astolov, 5,000 have already come home. Not just farmers, but teachers, shop owners, and a single potter. It was pottery, in fact, that put Astolov on the map, literally. Even new maps mark the town with the words Ceramics Bazaar. A trek up a hill littered with pottery shards following a man coaxing a donkey loaded with logs leads to Abdul Wakil, just now centering clay on his potter's wheel.
Yes, it is 2 months now that I have returned back to my home and I started making the clay pots.
Abdul Wakil says he's 26. He's brought his wife and four children back from Kabul, plus the sister-in-law and teenage niece left in his care when his brother was killed by the Taliban. As he works on his potter's wheel, he looks out over a golden valley beneath a dusty blue sky. Behind him are stacked dozens of glazed green and blue bowls. Abdul Wakil is waiting, he says, for trucks to start transporting goods to market again, and for some help, beams to finish rebuilding his home, money for pottery supplies, and possibly food to tide him over until the pots begin selling.
If nobody helps us and if I don't make enough money to support my family here, then I will have no alternative but to go back to Kabul and do the kind of work that I was doing in the past, which was I had a wheelbarrow and I was transporting food and wheat and flour from one place to another.
Abdul Wakil hopes he won't end up back in the city pushing a wheelbarrow. His father was a potter, he says, and his grandfather before him, and he wants to stay. Back at Abdul Baki's farm, several small boys and a tiny girl are busy bothering a beetle. They have the carefree air kids have in the country, any country, on a summer's day. They have lived nearly all their young lives in exile in cities, Kabul and Peshawar, and it's hard to know if they even remember this place. So one wonders whose memory is at work when a young farmer named Jilani wraps his arms around his little girl and says,
"This daughter of mine, who is 7 years old, she remembers this house, her house, and we also had some grape vines then. And when we moved to Kabul, she was always saying, 'Let's go back home. I want to eat some grapes. Let's go where the grapes are.'"
The international community has pledged billions to rebuild Afghanistan. 9 months after the fall of the Taliban, many Afghans say they've seen little of the promised aid. That story next week.